Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. During this current season of social distancing, we are meeting online via Zoom each Sunday beginning at 10:30. We have worship, prayer, teaching, communion, and a benediction each week. Everyone is welcome. For more information on this and other weekly connect points, please visit our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Liberty Vineyard to Sunday morning. And why don't we open up with a word of prayer? And Father God, as we get into our time together today, would you just lead our hearts where you want us to go? Lord, would you just be our guide? You're our protector. You're our counselor. You're our Savior and our King and our Lord. And we just need to trust in you. Lord, would you show us new ways today? Just to be able to lean more and more into you, that as we study your word, that you would open us to up to us new avenues that we haven't even considered of where you're working and how you're working. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for these that are here and those that will listen later online. In Jesus' name, amen. We sang a song this morning, a hymn, actually, O Come All Ye Faithful. This is a hymn from 1743. Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The words of the song describe the worship of a newborn king, but not just any king. The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. But with that song and with this season of Advent that we're in, we sang another song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. A song that cries out, looking forward to the time when Christ will come again. And I thought about both of these songs and I thought the words of O Come All Ye Faithful are invitational and they're joyful. And the words of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus are expectational. They're forward-looking and crying out. And I thought about those two songs and the purpose of those two songs, and I realized that expectation and adoration, expectation and joyfulness are not mutually exclusive things. They're not things that are one or the other. I am either expectant or I am joyful, but that I can be joyful while I am expectant. And the more I got to thinking about that, the more I started to ponder those words, I thought about how it is. I don't know if you can remember the times when you were kids. It feels like so long since I was a little kid, but I live it now vicariously through my kids. And I remember what it's like for children on Christmas morning. Can you think about that for a second? Just put yourself in that place. The children on Christmas morning, they're so excited. Why? Because for about what feels like 11 months, but it's probably two, they've been filled with expectation, filled with excitement about what is going to happen. They know it's going to happen. And so they're filled with excitement like this. Not only are they filled with excitement, but that expectation has brewed in them a curiosity. What's going to happen? What is it going to be like? And they're hopeful and they're joyful and they just can't wait. And when the morning gets there, they have to tell everybody. Right? When the morning gets there, what do? They jump out of bed. They wake everybody else in the house up. They go wake up all the siblings. They wake up the parents. They wake up the grandparents. They would yell at the neighbors if we'd let them. They get everybody out of bed. And they say, come on, come on. It's Christmas morning. And they're so excited. Right? They don't even sleep well. They're so excited. They wake up and they're just ready. They don't, I don't care if I've had 2 hours of sleep. Come on, I'm ready to go. And I thought about that. And I thought, wonder if that's what it was like for God, the day that Jesus was come into the world. I wonder if that's what it was like for him. He's here. The day is finally here. There's a passage in Galatians, in Galatians 4:4, that says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. That word fullness of time is a bit lofty. It's a bit difficult to pin down. But what it really means, I'm going to read you the really boring definition. And then I'm going to breathe a little, hopefully, life into that. It's the portion of time by which a longer antecedent period is completed. Well, that's exciting. No, let's listen to that again. A portion of time for which a longer antecedent period is completed. Thus, it means completeness or fullness. What does it mean? It means God had been waiting for this moment. It means that this moment was the culmination of all the events that had happened up to this point. We're looking forward to this one moment in history. In this moment in history, everything was focused. Everything was pointed. God was waiting. It's here. It's here. He's coming. And like a proud father, just announcing the birth of his son, he had been preparing for this. He had been waiting for this. He had spoken for thousands of years through prophets about the day that would come. But when the day arrived, oh my goodness, can you imagine what must it have been like? On that first Christmas, what must it have been like to be in the presence of the newborn king, right? This day was so important. He sent angels to the earth to announce the birth. The angels announced it to the shepherds, and the shepherds, just filled with rejoicing and awe, go and want to see this thing. He'd prepared Joseph and Mary's hearts, but in no way could they have known what all of this was going to look like. And so the scripture says that Joseph and Mary were just in wonderment of all that was happening. This day, God had prepared it in such a way that he not only did he prepare the hearts and the lives of men, he prepared the very heavens themselves to declare the glory of this moment. He birthed a new star in the heavens, something that no one had seen before, something that would be so special that it would call attention to this moment in time, a moment unlike any other moment, a moment to which all other moments looked forward to. And the star sent the shepherd, or sent the wise men, seeking. What must it have been like that first Christmas to see the culmination of prophecy fulfilled in one beautiful moment? What must it have been like to hear angels sing and shepherds rejoice and Mary and Joseph wonder and wise men seek and stars shining? What must it have been like to hear glory to God on the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill to men? I love the way the angels say it, because what they cry out is that this isn't just glory to God in one place. It's glory to God above. It's glory to God on the earth. All things declare the glory of God. In expectant, they crying out in expectant exaltation, the glory of the newborn king. Expectant exaltation. See, the thing about expectation, like I was saying earlier with the children on Christmas morning, the thing about expectation is that it builds joy. It builds jubilation. The more and more we look forward to the coming of something, the more our hearts and our lives begin to kind of get uplifted, get excited. We get joyful. And what happens with that joy is, if we let it build up in us enough, if we stockpile joy in our hearts, what happens? It explodes in adoration. It explodes in worship. That's the fullness of time. It's the explosion of everything that had led up to that moment, that had been building joy, that the prophets had spoken of, that the angels had announced, that the shepherds, and they couldn't be contained. When God finally said, he's here, he's here, everything erupted in adoration. Jesus would later say, if I tell them to be quiet, the very rocks and stones will cry out. What must it have been like to be in the presence of the newborn king, to be see all of heaven and earth, all of prophecy erupt in that moment. You see, expectation builds jubilation, and that jubilation, that joy, culminates in adoration. Come, let us adore him, Christ, the Lord. See, that's the thing about God. God is long-suffering. God is long in his pathway to things. Doesn't always fit to our timeline. I think we understand a little bit about this expectation right now, in this season that we're in. Expectation just means something you're looking forward to, right? Who among you doesn't have something that they're looking forward to right now that you don't have? I mean, we're all looking forward to a time when we can be together with friends and family again, in a way where we can see them face to face, to where we're looking forward to a time that we can gather together at church. Looking forward to a time where we can hug each other, where we can shake hands, where we can just put our arms around each other and say, I love you. Where we can lay hands on each other and pray. Where we can drive across the country and see parents and grandparents and children. Who's not looking forward to these times? We have a lot that we're looking forward to right now. That's the expectation. But if we look to the now, if we look to what's happening right now, it can be a little bit overwhelming. It can feel a little depressing. It can feel very heavy. It can feel very weighty. But if we will look instead to what will be, what God is preparing, eye hath not seen, and ear has not heard, the depth of the things that God is preparing for those who love him. Do you think anyone on earth could have expected what it would have been like when the Messiah came? Eye had not seen, ear had not heard. The shepherds didn't know what to make of it. Mary and Joseph didn't know what to make of it. The wise men didn't know what to make of it. You know, the only one who knew what to make of it was God. Why? Because he was prepared. He had been planning this moment. And when did it happen? Gradually, a little bit over time? No, it happened all of a sudden. All of a sudden, the darkness of the night was split with the voices of the angels. All of a sudden, all of the waiting and the anticipation was broken with the coming of the Messiah. All of a sudden, heaven broke through, and all heaven erupted in joy. And our hearts erupted with joy. If we will look to what God is going to do, look forward to what he's preparing, if we have hope, if we have trust, if we have faith, our expectation will build jubilation. And our jubilation will explode in adoration each and every day to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, expectation, that's the beauty of expectation. Is that it looks beyond the now, and it looks forward to the what will be. And it makes that the focus, so that the future hope becomes the current joy. I don't want you to miss that. Expectation puts our focus beyond the now to the future hope. And it takes that future hope and it grabs a hold of it. And then it brings it and it plants it here in our current situation. And it brings the future hope, becomes our current joy. See, the future reframes the present. And it becomes a filter through which we see our current experiences, our current challenges, our current depressing things, our current hopes and longings and dreams and wishes and all of that, and it filters them through that. See, that's what the inbreaking of the kingdom of God is. When Jesus Christ came to earth, when he died on the cross on Calvary, when he died for our sins, he brought the end of times breaking into our world now. And that future hope becomes our current joy. What was it that Paul said? If we have only to hope for what's in this life, we are to be pitied more than among all men. Yeah, but we don't. Because our hope is not in what we have here. Our hope is in that future glory, that future joy, looking forward like children on Christmas morning saying, "He's coming! He's coming! He loves us. He cares for us. And all heaven rejoices." Joseph and Mary faced all kinds of challenges, but they had hope. They had hope because they knew God was going to take care of his son. That same passage in Galatians 4 goes on to say that when God sent forth his son, when the fullness of time had come to redeem those so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because we are sons, God has sent the spirit of sons into our heart, crying out, "Abba, Father." So we are no longer slaves, but sons. And if a son, an heir through God. If God would care for his son, Mary and Joseph knew, "I don't need to worry because God is going to look after his son." And guess what? That is still true for you, because you are his sons. You are his daughters. You are his children. God is going to look after us. So we don't fear. Though the earth give way, though the mountains tumble into the sea, we don't fear, because God is with us. So just like I said, like little kids on Christmas morning, we wake up with excitement. Say, "He's here." The way David puts it in Psalm 108 really sums up the life that God is calling us to, the challenge of the life he's calling us to not live in the now, but live in the beyond. To not live within the challenges of ourself, but to live in the hope of the everlasting God. Listen to this, Psalm 108, just the first few verses. I love this. Listen to David's words. "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and I will make a melody with all my being. Awake, harp. Awake, lyre. I'll wake up the dawn." Doesn't it sound like the children on Christmas morning? Get up. It's time to praise God. Get up. He's here. He goes on to say, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, among the peoples." Do you notice the wording? Listen to the expectation. It doesn't say, "I'm giving thanks to you because." It says, "I will." David has no idea what's going to happen. Doesn't matter. I will give thanks. Not because of what is happening, but because what's going to happen. Because no matter what, I know that God is good all the time. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations for your steadfast love." Your unmovable, never giving up, never changing love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. "Be exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." How are we patiently expecting what God is going to do in our hearts and lives right now? Are we letting that hope drive us to praise, to worship, to adoration? Are we allowing God to fill us with joy, or the enemy to fill us with defeat? He wants nothing more than to steal the joy, because he knows it's the joy that can build up in our lives that creates those explosions of praise, and he hates explosions of praise. Don't be defeated. That future hope, that future glory, inbreaking kingdom of God today in our hearts and lives in a way that is transformative, in a way that is transcendent, in a way that is adoring of Christ the Lord. In the weeks to come until Christmas, we're going to be looking deeper at the adorations of the shepherds, of the wise men, of the angels, and even of the star. To look at how these adorations surrounding Jesus' birth can fuel our own joy in our hearts and our lives this season. Come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. God bless, my friends.